This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
As you can see, the gospel for today begins Jesus' Olivet Discourse, where he tells his disciples that in the future time, the temple would be destroyed, and false messiahs would start showing up almost everywhere. In our Old Testament passage, however, Hannah doesn't prophesy the end times, but she does describe God and his reign fairly well. So let's take a look. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like you, and no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Just look at the words of this prayer, which is actually a song. Think of it. Here is a woman who the high priest Eli thought was drunk. That turned out not to be the case. This was a woman who was in emotional agony over her condition, and she wasn't afraid to go to the tabernacle and pray with passion, even at the risk of being thought crazy or intoxicated. Have you ever been in such agony, mentally or spiritually, that you simply cried out to the Lord and didn't care what anyone thought? If so, that was Hannah. You and Hannah are in the same spot there. However, after being blessed by the Lord with a positive answer to her pleas, her spirit was lifted up and she was able to pray this profound prayer of thanks. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." In this line, Hannah shows a depth of dedication to God that many of us might only be able to dream about. She is rejoicing in the Lord. She saw her prayer answered, and at that point, she is able to rejoice in the Lord. Now, the horn makes reference to the strength and power of an ox or a bull. This tells us that all of Hannah's strength was dedicated to the Lord. She's telling us that she has no strength except the strength that God gives. It's God who is her glory. It's God who is her strength. And furthermore, it's God who is the center of her life, her focus, and her attention. Now, have you ever seen the scene when a mom or a dad is dropping off their child at school or a daycare facility? I saw this almost every day for the first month of school. A parent was dropping off their child at the kindergarten room, and the child would cry for about 5 minutes. The mom or dad would do the same. They would stand right there with them, not knowing that if they would just go away, the problem would be solved, the child would be fine, and mom and dad would get over it. Now, in our passage here, Hannah isn't dropping off Samuel for a six-hour school day. She was dropping him off at the tabernacle permanently. So while we're regaling Hannah's praise of the Lord, let's not forget the circumstances of this prayer. She is leaving her son behind, the son for whom she prayed passionately to the point that Eli thought she was drunk. But Hannah is also praying this bold prayer as she was aware that she was giving her child to God for his service. Now, do we believe this shows the power and depth of Hannah's faith? You better believe it. I don't know about you, but if I was dropping off a son I had prayed for years and giving him to God and leaving him at the church so the pastor could take care of him and raise him up to be a preacher and a prophet, I would probably be pretty distraught too. But in this case, Hannah did it, and she did it with amazing faith and poetic eloquence, as a matter of fact. And then she says, I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Hannah might have been taking a pot shot at Elkanah's other wife here, Peninnah. Remember, this other woman made fun of Hannah and tormented her because Hannah had previously been unable to have children. So she's taking a jab at the other woman. In this case, the salvation she speaks of here is the Lord's gracious answer to the cry of her heart. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Hannah here becomes a theologian, but gave the Lord the glory at the same time. This goes along with some of the things that we've taught along the way here in the last several years at Christ the King, that good theology leads to doxology. If you have sound biblical doctrine as the basis for what you believe, that should give rise to the doxos, praise to the Lord. And as a result, doxology should contribute to good theology. Now, this part of her song says, no one is holy like the Lord. Hannah is telling us that our God is absolutely holy and worthy of all of our worship. He is matchless. He is unrivaled. Then she proclaims that the Lord is our rallying point. He is our refuge and solid rock on which we can stand. When everything around us seems to be crumbling and everything we've ever known is passing away, God is our place to stand. He becomes our stability. It's in Him that we can rely for everything. Now, next, Hannah shows us that she and Job were on the same page. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. We remember from our brief journey through the book of Job that at the end, the patriarch of Uz had to admit that he had been arrogant and shot off his mouth about things he didn't know. However, David Guzik says in his commentary on 1 Samuel that Hannah might very well have had a closer person in mind. He said, Hannah certainly had her rival, that's Peninnah, in mind, but she also saw Peninnah as a representative of all of the proud and arrogant people in the world. Hannah wisely told the proud to talk no more and let no more arrogance come from your mouth. Pride can be expressed in many ways, but it usually is expressed by our words. It would be better if proud people just didn't talk so much. Would we agree? Prideful people just seem to rub us the wrong way like coarse sandpaper on our skin. We come quickly to the place where someone who is always bragging about themselves gets offensive even. And we just want to say, will you be quiet? Or something else, maybe a little more blunt than that. And when we say, will you be quiet, it's not a question. It's an admonition, like put a lid on it, or zip it, or knock it off. I can't take that anymore. Now, at the end of this section, Hannah is content to let God be the judge, though. She says, and by him, actions are weighed. God is ultimately the judge, and we are to let him be the one who vindicates or condemns even those who are insufferably obnoxious. Let him take care of it. God's better at that than we are, thankfully. Hannah doesn't stop there. She goes on to declare that the Lord is the great equalizer. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. She declares that the leaders of the world, who are so proud of themselves and strut around with all sorts of medals on their chests, are nothing compared to God. I don't know if you've seen it, but there have been photographs of the leading officers of the army in North Korea. Have you ever seen the pictures of those guys where they have medals from top to bottom all the way to the bottom of their coats? And you wonder if anybody came with a giant magnet, if the whole bunch of them wouldn't get caught up and stuck to it. This is what he's talking about here. Those people who are so proud of themselves and of their alleged power. God is the one who has the real power. God is the one who will bring to nothing the wicked who use their military strength to oppress nations and cruelly rule over others. The next lines speak of the Lord raising up the weak. There are many examples, but one such example is when Mattathias, and then his son Judas Maccabeus led the Jews to defeat Antiochus Epiphanes' army and drive him from Israel and from the temple, from Jerusalem. Another good example of this might be, which is appropriate for the Sunday following Veterans Day, when George Washington led a greatly outgunned and outnumbered Continental Army to defeat the greatest military power in the world, England. God raises up and he brings down. We've talked about the straightforward meaning of Hannah's prayerful song now, but what does this eloquent song ultimately mean? Yes, in her joy over the Lord answering her prayer, but yet in her faithfully fulfilling her promise to God, she sings a beautifully poetic song. Yes, we can use this song to say Hannah was rejoicing over her blessing. But here's what it might mean for us. God does answer prayer. Of course, some of the time the answer is no, and we don't generally like that one. God will meet our needs. He is also a God of justice. But in these lines, we get a picture of a mighty God who is worthy of our worship, do we not? Do we hear and read about God's greatness and his power in these lines from Hannah? We most certainly do. He is worthy of our worship. Yet in Hannah's song, there is an invitation to live life on the edge, so to speak, to go out in faith and to trust God that this God will indeed hear us when we cry out to him. Do we have inside of each one of us a longing or a yearning for meaning and significance and purpose? Do we want to know that our lives mean something? Do we want to know that while we are strolling through this life, that there is a reason God put us here? And that it's not just to see how much he can make any of us suffer. Although there may be times when it seems like that. Oh God, where are you? What am I doing here? Why am I here? God, why have you forgotten about me? Hannah might have thought that too. Remember in the first part, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, when she's praying and she's passionately praying to the point that Eli thinks she's had a little bit too much wine? That's the time when she is pouring out her heart saying, God, there's an empty spot in my life and it can only be filled by one thing. Yes, Lord, I love you, but I have a need. And so she prayed passionately about that need. And she poured out her heart. So can all of us identify with Hannah at this point where there's something, we know there's something lacking or missing in our lives. We know that there's a mystery that has to be solved. We have questions that have not yet been answered. Have we all been there? I remember living in Missouri. I would sit up late and listen to a music CD that had songs on it that spoke to my longing to do something for God. In those late hours, I would pray passionately, asking God to fulfill this longing in my heart to serve Him that actually He had put in my heart. And He did. As the priest of an evangelical church in what we can regard as enemy territory, not because it's here in Massachusetts, but nowadays, almost anywhere you have a church anywhere on the earth is enemy territory. So here we are at this church in enemy territory. We are right in the middle of the fight, like it or not. I know there was a pastor back in my parents' hometown where, and this was in Texas, he had a sign at the exit of the parking lot. When everyone was driving out of the parking lot at the end of every service every week, the sign would say, "You are now entering the mission field." And that was in Texas, one of the links of the end of the Bible Belt. But folks, we are in enemy territory. If we are members of a congregation that's evangelical, that preaches the Word of God, we are a missionary church. And we are in the fight. So we need to think about it in those terms. And also, as a teacher at a Christian school, we're fighting to ensure that Judges chapter 2, verse 10 doesn't become true in our lifetime. Joshua had just died. And the verse says, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work He had done for Israel." They had done one thing very poorly and had tragically missed the boat, so to speak. They had forgotten to pass on the faith to the next generation and their children's children. That's our mission, folks. We are to make disciples and train up the next generation. Hannah gave her son to God, and he became a mighty prophet for Israel. So let's call on the Lord and ask Him for His power so we may serve Him boldly and serve Him with passion, because He is an incomparable God with His power, His resources, and His grace. And like He did with Hannah, He will answer our pleas, and His answer will also be incomparable. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.